praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, you're my one desire, and I want to know you more. How about that? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you desire to know us. Your word says if we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. And Lord, we thank you that we get to know you by spending time in your presence, spending time in your word, spending time even with believers of like precious faith like we do tonight. We come together. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our one desire is to know you more. Help us to discover ways tonight in which we can do just that. And we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise before you're seated. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Good to see each of you tonight. We take a series of time, 4 weeks actually, to do something a little different. To do something a little different, to draw together for 4 weeks in here for what we've called Word and Worship. Word and Worship. We've done this a couple of times a year. Last year we did that on spiritual gifts. And for the next 4 weeks, I think it runs through April the 10th, we'll cover the journey of faith, just four areas that I tried to identify that will help us as believers. Whether we're seasoned believers, that doesn't mean a senior citizen, that means a seasoned believer. That means we've been in the faith a long time, or we're brand new. Amen. How many of you know in the kingdom, it don't matter how old you are, you know, it doesn't. We'll study Bible study, which we'll cover tonight. We'll cover prayer, the importance of prayer in our lives. We'll cover fasting. I'm looking forward to that one. Don't eat anything that day, please. At least you can say I participated one day anyway, right? Yeah, the following week you can eat again. And then the last one will be witnessing, where we'll share with you role-playing even. We're going to do some things different. Even tonight, you'll leave here saying, wow, that was different. Let me give you a disclaimer. Tonight will not even scratch the surface, okay, to what you could talk about in terms of Bible study. You know, we're blessed today with all kinds of tools. I've never seen a day where we didn't have so many tools, so many ways of expanding our faith, encouraging and inspiring ourselves. You know, you got to go deeper. Thank God for devotionals, you know, but everybody's got them. I mean, you can buy them everywhere. You can buy them at Walmart, okay? You can buy them in the grocery store. 365 days, you know. Give me 10 seconds or 15 seconds or whatever. Then we've got all kinds of devotionals. We've got all kinds of calendars. You can put a calendar beside my bathtub. And on the day, it's got a verse at the bottom, you know. So we've got all kinds of ways. But the question is, do we use them? Do we use those things? I like the word for you today. It takes you about a couple of minutes. It's always a good central thought. But there's nothing any better than taking a season of your time and saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And just taking a book at your own choice. You don't have to feel, you know, a lightning bolt experience. You can just say, hey, I think I'm gonna jump in the Gospel of John, or I think I'm gonna try Jeremiah, study the weeping prophet. You can choose any book. And it's the inspired word of God, and God will teach you. And you know, if you have a study Bible, how many of y'all have a study Bible? Come on, raise your hand. Study Bibles. Study Bible is a good tool, because you can before you even begin to read in a book, you can look at the opening comments, and you can read about the book. You can read about the author. You can read about the time frame. And here's what I like to do. I'd like to go ahead and throw this out there. If you have trouble studying the Bible, just write down this simple formula. Who, what, when, where, and why. Who am I talking about? Who's the Bible talking about? What is he talking about? When was it? Where was it? And why? Why did it happen? So basically you're taking on the role of a reporter. You showed up on the scene of the accident. You got your tablet in your hand. And you're ready to ask some questions, right? Who, what, when, where, why? Who? Who's playing the trumpet tonight?
A.C. Britt.
A.C. Britt. Why? Okay. Why do you play the trumpet? Did you aspire to play the trumpet? Or? Okay. Early in his life, he loved sound. Okay. So we already got when. When was it? Early in his life. What is it? Playing the trumpet. Why was it? Because he's addicted to sounds. He loves sounds. So you see what I'm saying? Who, what, when, where, why? Who? Mr. Britt. Okay? So you got to do the same thing with the Bible. Don't let the Bible intimidate you. Some people say, oh, I stay away from Revelation. Why? Revelation's God's word to you. Revelation is God's word to you. It is indeed a revelation, a pulling back of the curtain to reveal those things which are to come. So we're going to talk about Bible study tonight. And the disclaimer is, I said earlier, you won't even scratch the surface with what I give you tonight. Hopefully tonight will just kind of get you thinking in a little bit of a different way. We'll start off with a verse, passage of scripture here from 2 Timothy. Chapter number 3, verses are 14 to 17. It's interesting that the context of this passage, remember that word context. It's interesting that the context of this passage is the same place we were Sunday morning. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them, stir it up, okay? Stir it up. You won't forget that. You know, you got a spoon to give you a reminder. So, but in the same context, Paul, who is the mentor, the teacher, the elder one here, who is investing in his spiritual son, okay? He's investing in his spiritual son, Timothy. And Paul was preparing Timothy because he was writing this letter. He's incarcerated, remember that, because he is knowing that his life is coming to a close, okay? He don't have much time. Remember I said, what would you do if you had 24 hours left? Okay? So he's writing this letter to him, and he wants him to be completely ready for everything that he would face in the ministry. So let's read the passage here. But as for you, Timothy, you need to continue in what you've learned. Remember he talked about the role of Lois and Eunice, his mother and his grandmother. Continue in what you've learned because you know those from whom you learned it. You know these women. You know the people that have influenced you. You know me. And he said, even how from infancy, as a baby, as a child, kids' church, nursery, you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise. I underscored this part. For what? For salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we get out of the Scriptures. We get this understanding of faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. We'll hang on to that because we're going to jump on that in the final comments of tonight. It's also useful for teaching. It'll also bring rebuke to you. How many of y'all read the Bible and thought, oh, you know, conviction sets in while you're reading the Bible? Or listen to a word from the pulpit, and suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart. Because why? The Scripture is good for what? It's good for teaching, yes. It's good for rebuking. It's good for correction. It's good for training in righteousness. What is righteousness? Somebody help me here out loud. Right standing. Who said that? Okay, right standing. It's right standing with God. That's what righteousness is. So the word is good for that. Verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. In fact, Paul tells Timothy he's headed for some terrible times. He said, but I hate to tell you, but you're going to go through some rough stuff here. You're headed for some rough times. If you look up in the first five verses, verses 1 to 5, he says, mark this, okay? Now, as I read this, think about where you live today, 2024. He said, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. You ever been watching TV at night and said, have you been injured in an accident? Come on. You need Lowell the Hammer Stanley. That's who you need. He'll only charge you 70% of the total sale, the total closing. You get 30, okay? That's a little shout out to you, Lowell, if you're listening from Virginia. 70-30, okay? Now he's going to try to sue me for slandering him, okay? So he said people will be slanderous, and they'll be without self-control, and they'll be brutal, and they'll not be lovers of good things. They'll be treacherous, rash, conceited. Have we got to any of your family yet? Come on, guys. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he said in verse 5, having a form of godliness. Oh, you have a blessed day now. You ever heard anybody tell you that? Hey, you have a blessed day. She's the same lady that cussed you out 2 weeks before. She has a form of godliness, but apparently it has no power in her life. Hasn't changed anything. He says to us, he encourages us, don't have anything to do with these kinds of people. Peter in his second epistle says this in chapter 1, verse 3. He says that the scriptures have given us what? Everything we need to live a godly life. He's given us everything we need. In the Bible, God has given us the roadmap. God has given us the transcript. God has given us the principles, the precepts. Everything we need to live a godly life. Just today I received a thank you. There's a thank you from Pastor John Javed in Pakistan. He sent this to me about middle of the day. Pictures of individuals who received Bibles. I just sent some Bibles over just a few weeks ago. Just not sent them, but by way of an offering. Their language is Urdu. U-R-D-U, Urdu. So they have the Bible they're holding. These are two people that are holding the Bible. He sent me about 40 kids holding scriptures. $5 for a very nice Bible in their own language, okay? So he said, I just want to thank you for the language of Urdu in the scriptures, Pastor Wallace. It's making a difference in the lives of people. The Bible there is a treasured commodity, yet we have it here at our fingertips. I got multiple translations right here in my pocket. You know, thank God for the apps. We've got it everywhere we turn. Many of us have multiple translations at home sitting on the shelf. Some of them have been cracked open for years because we only use one of them, and there's 10 more, you know, on the shelf. But there are people that don't have Bibles. It's a treasure commodity. This is an amazing book. The question is, what is the Bible? What's the Bible? Well, the Bible, I just put a practical definition down there for you. The Bible is literally, this is literally what the Bible is. Biblios. It is a collection of 66 books that tell the story of God's creating man and man, how he responds to God. That's just pretty much it. It tells the story of how God created man and the ultimate story of how mankind has responded to the God who created him. That's the most practical definition of the Bible that I can give you. It's the story of humanity, God and humanity, okay? The Bible is God's revelation to man, God's revealing of himself to mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. I want you to hear this passage here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Look at this. But God has revealed them to us, how? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit of God, the Lord has revealed himself to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. Can I just submit something to you here? Let me back up to that one verse. And how many have heard this before many times? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has planned for his people. Can I just tell you that's not a funeral passage? Think about it. Well, you know, we're in the funeral service here, and the dearly loved, beloved departed one is here. And let me just tell you, friends, don't worry about Brother Joe here, because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has planned for Joe. While that may be true, that is not the meaning of that verse. Hello? That is not the meaning of that verse. It is not, oh man, you wait till you get to heaven. That's not what that verse means. Well, Pastor, what does that verse mean? That verse simply means, as I just read to you, that it is true. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him all the days they're alive on planet Earth, before they die. This is, God is saying, listen, I've got good things. We sang a song Sunday, Good Things. How many of y'all like that song? I did. Good Things. God has good things. Good things for us before we die. You know, I want to go to heaven, but not today. I want to go to heaven, but not this year. I don't. I want to get there, but not in 25 or 26. I want to live. Okay? And so we just have to understand that he has given us these good things. He has things that I can't even imagine what it looks like. Ear can't even imagine what it sounds like, or you can't hear how good it was and really understand it. Because the Spirit of God, here we go, because the Spirit of God has revealed all the wisdom of God already. Where does it show up? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Okay, right on down the line. He's revealed through the Spirit, he revealed these things. And if you look from Genesis to Revelation, man, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. If you would get into this book, you just cannot imagine what God has for those who love him. This is the truth. People do this all the time. This is a great time to mention when you read the Bible and study the Bible, you need to employ some principles. Somebody say principles. You need to employ some principles, some integrity on how you read it. Sure, it sounds good to say, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has planned for his people at a funeral, but that's not what it means. That's not what it means. You and I, here we go, we don't have the right to read into Scripture and make it mean what we think it means or make it mean what we want it to mean. Scripture sometimes can be confusing, can't it? How about in Revelation, there's a woman who sat on seven hills. Wow, what a big woman. No, maybe the hills were small. You say, well, what do I do with that? Study. Get in the book and study. Read the commentaries that people have labored, given their lives to help you understand. Do some word study, some analytical study. Is this figurative speech? Is it reality? Find out who, what, when, where, and why. You know, just do those things. Ask those questions. Get you a legal pad. Write those words down. Who, what, when, where, and why. And every time, if you want to really study the Bible, every time you sit down to study, get you a pad and start doing that. And I promise you, your Bible study is going to take on a new meaning. Okay? So you and I don't have the right to read the meaning in the scriptures the way we want to. What we call that in college or theological circles is eisegesis. I don't expect you to remember that nor appreciate it, but there it is, okay? What's the opposite of that? Eisegesis means this. Eisegesis means I subject my meanings over the scripture, okay? What's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is exegesis, okay? Exegesis means I do what? I draw out, give me that slide there, Denise, if you don't mind there. I draw out the truth. There's two words. Eisegesis, I read into. Exegesis, I draw out the truth, okay, of what the Bible is trying to say to me, all right? People pull verses out of context all the time, but that doesn't make it right. In fact, you don't have the right to make the scripture say what you want it to say, even for your own devotional purposes. You really don't. So it makes it like, wow, pastor's getting serious about this, man. It's true. It's true. You don't have the right to do that. Remember me telling you the story many years ago. I've told it. I don't know if some of you may have heard it or others may have not. I remember when I went to Bible college. Now, I have a master's degree, and I also have an earned doctorate. But I went to did my undergraduate work at Southeastern University, and I was so excited to be in Bible college. So excited. I went to Montgomery Ward's. This is dating myself now. I went to Montgomery Ward's, okay. I bought a Smith Corona typewriter for $88. And I'm doing my first exegetical paper. And I'm doing it from 1 Timothy. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing. That's my passage, okay? And I'm exegeting the passage. And I never will forget it, Pastor Noli, when I'm sitting there typing, man, just as fast as I could with my Smith Corona. Webster's Dictionary defines, and I get my paper back. And he must have used his only red ink pen up on my paper. And he had a big, you remember Pastor Joy? Had a big D across the top of it. Man, I'm thinking, wait a minute. What am I going to do? How am I going to ever get out of here? I'm not going to pass. So I went back to see Dr. Terrence Newman. He was one of the contributors of the New International Version of the Scriptures. Okay, he was one of the scholars that was responsible for that translation. I went back to see Dr. Newman. Dr. Newman said, Wallace, don't you ever turn a paper in to me and tell me what Webster says. Never. He said, because you're dealing with not words just as Webster thought what they meant. Sometimes you might get lucky and it might be close. But he said, you're talking about, young man, you're talking about biblical words. So if you're in the Old Testament, what are you going to do? You're going to look up the what? The Hebrew. If you're in the New Testament, what are you going to do? You're going to go to your lexicon, and you're going to look up the Greek meaning of this word. Okay? And I thought, wow, I'm sorry. He said, no, don't be sorry. Be glad that you came by to see me, because if you do this again, you're going to get a D again. So let's get on track here. If you're going to pass my course, you're going to have to invest in a lexicon. Have you taken hermeneutics yet? I said, no. He said, well, why'd you sign up for this class? I said, I thought I'd signed up for the right thing. He said, you signed up because you wanted to sign up for it. He said, you need to go see your counselor and see if you can get something changed. You don't need to be taking this course because you're not ready, obviously. Whew. Okay. Welcome to the Bible University, okay? So, nevertheless, it can go down in history as saying, Dr. Newman, if you're listening today, he's still alive, and just keep up with him once in a while. He made a tremendous impact on my life. He taught me so much. Him and Dr. Deusing and Dr. Fetke. Dr. Fetke keeps up with Carpenter Shop all the time. Man, you still there? Yeah, I'm still here. But those guys made a tremendous impact on my life because they taught me. They talked about things that you and I are talking about tonight. If you're going to approach the scriptures with a certain sense of principle and integrity. You know, subscribe to somebody's helps. Get some Bible studies from some respected scholars or something like that to help you along. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not telling you or suggesting that you dig out and write your own commentary. No, 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 no. You got all kinds of tools out there. But you've got to employ those tools. There's all kinds of respected theologians out there and Bible teachers that can help you. And you don't want to abuse the scriptures. St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said this. He said, if we pick and choose what we believe in the Bible, then it's not the Bible we believe, but ourselves. Thomas Jefferson said, well, I don't agree with that. So Jefferson, everywhere he saw a miracle, he took a pair of scissors and he cut the miracles out, and he fashioned for himself what he considered the Jefferson Bible. Okay? No, you can't pick and choose what you want to believe and throw the rest away. And you got to take every word from Genesis to Revelation and rightly divide it and do an exegetical approach as you're preparing for a lesson. You got to teach somewhere, got to preach somewhere. Don't just get in the pulpit and say, well, I just felt like the Lord was showing me this. No, you better be careful what you say the Lord showed you. Okay? Make sure you trust that he was showing you, you really feel like he was showing you what was the right thing. And study the passage. I can tell you one thing. I refuse to show up to a pulpit unprepared. Okay? I will never do that. Because you know what? I love you guys and I want to give you the truth. But you know who I love more than I love you? I love God. And one day I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did a good job dispensing my word. Okay? People do crazy things. I've heard this so many times. Have you ever heard somebody, you know, show up at a church service? You ever been in a church service where there was just a few people there? Like maybe, you know, they had a Sunday morning and it was like 15. And the pastor would go to the microphone and say, well, not a whole lot of folks here this morning. I guess the weather's kind of bad, but you know what? You know what the word says? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You ever heard anybody say that? Can I tell you that's wrong? Has nothing to do. When the scripture said that, it has absolutely nothing to do with small crowds. So, if where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord says, there I am in the midst, does that mean I'm in trouble if I don't have at least two? If I'm by myself, he's not going to be there? Are you getting me? So, here's the passage right here. If you look at that passage, you have to ask yourself the question, remember, who we're talking about? What is he saying? Why is he saying it? What's the context? The context here in this passage is not the size of a congregation. You know what the context is? It is the discipline in the church, which most churches don't do today. Discipline in the church. Here's the passage. Let's look at it together. Matthew 18, 15 to 20. Listen closely now. Talking to you. If your brother or sister sins... Okay, you got somebody in carpenter shop, you know that they're living, you know a little bit about their life, you work with them, man, you've seen some ungodly things. If your brother or sister sins, what are you supposed to do to them? Go to them, point out their fault just between the two of you. Okay, just you and them. Hey, brother, can we talk, man? Can we have a heart to heart here? Sure. I got something that I just want to talk to you about just between you and I. Okay, if they listen to you, okay, you have done what? You've won them over. You know what? Pastor Wallace, you're absolutely right. God has been dealing with me about this. Man, would you pray with me on it? I don't want to live like this. He repents. You pray for him, he repents. And he just hugs your neck and says, man, thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. You won the brother over. But if they will not listen, somebody say round two, okay? But if they will not listen, take one or two others along with you. Okay? So that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now you got to, you know, you already been to him once. And he's still living like that. Okay? You take somebody with you, maybe a third person with you. But if they still refuse to listen... Get you a microphone on a Sunday morning. Hey, guys, I got something I want to tell y'all, okay? Okay? Listen, this is Bible, okay? This is Bible. Now, like I said, you don't see a whole lot of it today. I don't know why pastors don't do it. I really don't know why we don't deal with it, why we don't go to them just out on our own. You say, do you, Pastor? Yes, I do. I do. I've been to people. Have you taken somebody else with you? Yes, I have. I sure have. Thank God I didn't have to get to the third stage. Okay? If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. How many of y'all love the tax collectors? Come on. I've been here 32 years. There are two occasions in which we have given official letters of excommunication to people in the church. A signed copy, certified, sent to the Ahoskie Police Department and also the Hertford County Sheriff's Department, that this person is no longer welcome in the worship services nor on the premises of our property. Okay? Can I just tell you something, friends? That's got to be a serious issue for a pastor to go that far. And I didn't do it without our legal counsel helping me construct the letter and giving me every reason why I had the rights to do that, okay? So here's what he says. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You know what he's saying there? Listen, you do this down there on earth in the church, and I promise you, heaven's on your back, okay? And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 19, again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by the Father in heaven. Look at verse 20. See if this doesn't ring a bell to you. For where two or three will gather in my name, there I am with them. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you see what I'm talking about here? People take that verse, and the pastor's feeling real self-conscious because only a few people showed up. And so he's making himself feel better, but he's making himself feel better by totally destroying the meaning of a verse of scripture. It has nothing to do with small attendance. I'm telling you, it happens. It happens more often than I'd like to admit, where people pull things out of context. It's just not, it's not to be done. So much of the work in Bible study has been done for you. You know, you've got tools today. Man, when I got the call to ministry, Pastor Joy and I were attending a little church in Hertford, man, I got gloriously saved and filled with the Spirit. And in just weeks, I felt the call of God on my life to go to ministry. And just a short time of ministry, I wanted more, Pastor Frank. I was like, how am I going to ready? I'm not ready for this. Pastor Billy, I was afraid, man. I need help. I need instruction. I've already graduated from the team that beat Carolina last week. I already graduated from there. Okay, pray for them Thursday night, please. Already graduated from NC State. I was colleged out. I don't want to take another class. But I felt so inadequate for ministry that I did sign up for Bible college. And I loaded up my two kids in a truck, everything we owned, $700 to our name in a pickle jar. And we moved to Florida. And I wanted to study to show myself approved, a workman that would not have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, you know, that's really what we're called to do. And I've discovered in those days that, you know, my great uncle, who was a professor at Southeastern University, he called me. He said, hey, man, he said, I heard you were going to Bible college. And I said, yes, sir, Uncle Anderson, I sure am. He said, man, don't let them guys ruin you. He said, don't let them guys mess you up. He said, brother, if you're called by God, all you need is a King James Scofield Study Bible and a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Come on. Now y'all got to be at least 50, 60 years old to laugh at that, okay? Y'all didn't even know what we're laughing about. All you need is the King James Scofield Study Bible and a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. You know what I mean, don't you, Pastor? That's all you need. And I was like, man. And so guess what he did? UPS delivered to my house a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It's blue. It's royal blue. I still got it today. Covers almost all tore to pieces. And I did use it, but I did go to Bible college too. But here's the thing. With a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, because, you know, in that day, man, everybody used the King James, okay? And in a particular day, you know, this is what you would do. You would read the scriptures, okay? Like, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Are y'all having a good time yet? We're about to come to a close here. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. Look at the last part of that. Verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture, somebody say scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, okay? That's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness or right standing with the Lord, so that the servant of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Sorry, I'm reading one way and quoting King James. It's inside of me. Can't help it. So this is what happens. When you were in those days, you in the King James Version of the Bible, and it would read like this: not all scripture is God-breathed. It would read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? Am I right, Pastor Frank? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then inspiration would have a little footnote on it. And then you'd go down to the bottom and look at the footnote, and it would tell you to turn to Strong's number 2499 or whatever. So you get your Strong's out, and you flop that big old book over, and you look at 2499. And what did it say beside 2499? I don't know, it's 2499. I'm just throwing a number out there. It said Theonoustos. Theonoustos. Next slide, please. Theonoustos. What does Theonoustos mean? Well, Theo is God. We're studying what? Theology. What is theology? Study of God. Theo is God. Noustos. What word do you hear in there? Anybody in the medical field here? PNEU. Anybody heard anybody getting pneumonia? What does that got to do with it? It's got to do with your respiratory. So is all scripture is given by inspiration. Inspiration is theonoustos. Theonoustos, lo and behold, means God's breath or God breathed. So you go to the NIV or the NLT or the ESV or whatever new modern translation you're using, and it will read like this: all scripture is breathed of God. Thank you very much for taking all the work off my plate. We are a generation of people that have all the work done. Man, when I was coming along, Pastor Frank, you know, brother, I'm not too many years behind you, but I'm a few years behind you, but man, we used to have to fill the kitchen table up with books. We had to. Pastor Joyce saw me grow up that way. We had the kids in the bed, man, books scattered all over the kitchen table, no internet. And we're looking up words. We're looking up words. And we're writing those words down, and we dug it out. What were we doing? We were exegeting the passage. Come on, y'all. We were exegeting the passage. I was trained to do this. I know how to do this. But in today's culture, all the work has been taken out of it, and we've got it written out in translations where it's already describing the Greek word on the paper. All scripture is God breathed. Wow. So easy. I didn't come up that way, y'all. I didn't come up that way. I came up the harder way. And I like what we have today. I do. We have the availability of so many easy tools. It makes Bible study so easy. And then we have to ask the question, you know, where does Bible come from? I mean, were Peter and John just walking up toward the temple, and all of a sudden, what's that? And they, I don't know, it's like a book. And they picked it up, and lo and behold, there's a King James. No. There was a process. There's a process involved in getting what you hold in your hand or look up on your phone from Genesis to Revelation, and that process is called canonicity, the canonization of Scripture. A canon is a rule or a rod, a measurement, and there were certain rules of measurement that had to be passed in order for a book to be considered canonical and worthy of being part of the collection of the 66 books. Hello? Somebody say, welcome to Wednesday night. This is Wednesday night, okay? This is different, but it's the truth. It's how we as ministry, it's how we prepare, it's how we have to undergo certain strategies and principles and precepts to get ready to inspire you. And this is what it takes. And in this day when the people, and you say, well, how did, you know, who decided? The church council? Men and women, the church leadership had their say so on it. And there were arguments over certain books. Well, I don't think James should be in there. Why? Because he talks about work so much. There's arguments of canonicity over works. Well, no, James said, no, you show me your faith and I'll show you your works. Okay. Song of Solomon shouldn't be in there. Why? Because it's rated X, man. Come on. You haven't read it? That shouldn't be in there, man. That's some wild language. No, you're misunderstanding something. He's not talking about that. He's talking about his relationship spiritually. Okay? It's a picture of his relationship spiritually, written in a manner which can easily be understood to the natural man. You follow what I'm saying? Listen, so many books were circulated. Somebody turn to me the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, right quick as we come to a close. The Gospel of Luke. Pastor Joy, you got it? Here you go. Julie's got it right here. All right, what you got here? Here we go. Gospel of Luke. For as much as many have taken in the hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us. For as much as what? Many. A lot of other people have tried to write down these events that they saw Jesus do. Do you think it was only Matthew, Mark, and Luke? No. Luke says many have done this. Many people have started to write this. And he said, I thought it would be good for me also, most excellent Theophilus, to also give you an account. Listen, there were so many books being circulated out there about what Jesus did or what Jesus didn't do. And some people had stories in those books that didn't quite, we can't do that. There were stories about Jesus and the things that he did. Like, Jesus grew up where? You know, working in his father's what? Where do you go to church? Carpenter shop. And so a man puts an order in for a bed, and he was rather tall, and when he came to pick it up, he said, man, that's not long enough for me. I'm a tall man. Jesus goes over and says, no worries. Like a twinkle, 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 and extends the bed. Okay? Another story about Jesus is he was playing with kids, and they were just out in the yard. You know how they used to play mud pies? Y'all ever grow up playing mud pies? Jesus out there playing with kids, and he fashioned some little pigeons out of mud and said, hey guys, check this out. And they took wings and flew away. So did that make the canon of Scripture? No. Why? Because Jesus doesn't use powers to impress people like that. So here's the clincher right here. It wasn't consistent with the nature and the character of God. And so the book failed. Don't you even bring that here, okay? We're not, you know, no. This is not the character and the nature of God, okay? So, there are books. In fact, there are other books. Like if you go to the Catholic Church, you got 13 more books than the Protestant Church, right? And then you have a volume of books called the Pseudepigrapha. Graphe means writing. Pseudo means what? False. So other false writings, they're writings that maybe some of it is true, but as a whole, the books did not meet canonical measure, okay? And so all of this, friends, all of this took place. Human beings were involved in it in church councils. They had to make decisions as to whether or not this book would be included in what we know as the Bible. So it just didn't fall out of the sky, okay? And then again, you have to understand, I just spoke to you a few moments ago about how the wisdom of God. You know, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. He said it was the wisdom of God. The Spirit of God was speaking. The Spirit of God was speaking here. And that's exactly what happened. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20. Here's one I skipped, Denise. Sorry about that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Check this out. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. It's not just his ability. For prophecy never had its origin in humanity or in the human will, but prophets, though they're human, the Bible says, spoke from God, here we go, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we could say that Luke was inspired by the Holy Spirit as he wrote his gospel. John was inspired by the Holy Spirit. You have to understand inspiration. Listen, inspiration, when we use that word, we're not talking about Shakespeare. Tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. I went to high school, y'all. I had to do Macbeth, okay? No, that's not inspiration. Inspiration is what? God's breath. Here we go. God's breath carried me along as I penned down these words. Are y'all getting this? God's breath carried me along in the Holy Spirit as I penned down these words. And the words that I penned down passed the canonical testing by the church council, and they stamped their approval on it and said, yes, this book is canonical. There are lots of other books. I've got them in my library. The Bible even quotes one of them, okay? Your Bible quotes, is it Maccabees, Pastor Noli? The Bible quotes Maccabees, okay? So, you got a serious responsibility here. I've given you just a scratching of the surface. I've given you just a Reader's Digest version. You study the Scriptures by understanding. If you're in the Old Testament, you study Hebrew. New Testament, you study Greek. You need a lexicon. You got online now, BibleStudyTools.com. Logos software. You got so many tools that you can just do it so quickly, so rapidly. It's right there. Just click on the blue button and it'll tell you what it means. And you should do that if you're studying a passage, so that when you stand up, you'll be able to be confident that you are what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Any carpenters in the room? Any of you guys ever built anything? How many of you know that when you got a piece of lumber, what do they tell you when you're measuring? You measure twice and cut once, okay? You know what I usually do? I measure and cut, okay? Because you know what, if you don't measure right and you cut, you know what? You didn't cut it right. You didn't mess up one piece of lumber. You messed up two pieces, okay? So to rightly divide the word of truth is translated, cut it right, okay? Cut it straight. Don't get in the pulpit and just say what you want to say. Man, I've heard sermons I've laughed at. I think, man, where is this guy coming from? Who in the world is he? What is he doing? Man, you're butchering that passage. But it just means that he or she did not study, probably did not care, and they just say what they want to say. Which is not right. It's not right. This is the holy word of God. And when you break it, you want to cut it straight. Because you know what? As I stand before God, I'm going to give an account of every word I've ever said in front of you. Did I do it? Did I do it well? Did I do it to the best of my ability? Did I cut it straight? Did I rightly divide his truth? And his truth does what? It sets people free. Okay. So Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for just a 100-yard dash on a subject that could take weeks, Bible study. Forgive us for not doing it, Lord. Forgive us for taking it the easy way out. Forgive us for just reading a little couple of minutes here and there. Rather, give us a hunger for your word that will cause us to dig into it, to dig into it, to read more, to hear more, to listen more. We've got podcasts. We've got everything available to us today to listen to the word of God proclaimed. Help us, God, to hunger for your word. In Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you'd say, man, Pastor, you rang the bell for me, man. I just want to make a deeper commitment to the things of God, to be a better steward of his book. Why don't you just come and stand and just have some quiet time between you and he, between you and the Lord. Just, Lord, I just want to do better. I want to get into it more. I want to learn more. I want to know more. I want you to teach me. Through the same Holy Spirit that carried these others along, would you carry me along also, God? Not to write another book, because it's closed. The revelation's closed. But to just better understand what I'm reading. Give me opportunities. Trust me to teach others. Trust me to teach my children. Trust me to teach my family. Trust me, Lord. Trust me with your word. Your word is truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we stand in your presence, God. Just, we honor you. We honor you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your word. We pray that you would cause us to hunger for it, desire it, and most of all, rightly divide it, God, that we might receive the truth of your word in the power of your Spirit. Help us, God, to study to show ourselves approved, that when we are given opportunity, we can share it and not be ashamed, because we know the truth, that you've enlightened and illumined us. In Jesus' powerful name, amen and amen. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves before you leave.